Good morning.
Good morning.
It's my pleasure and privilege to introduce Jan Starr. She is with Backpacks for Kids, which is one of our outreach programs, and she's brought a friend with, and you'll introduce your friend,
okay?
And I've really connected with Jan. She's also the piano player, the accompanist over at Holy Cross Lutheran Church here in Bellevue, and so made that connection. That was kind of fun to have that kind of deal. I would like to open in prayer, and then I'm just going to give it to Jan. And Becca's running the system again this morning, so they're going to use some information off their website. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we're always grateful that we can gather together in your name to learn more about what your work is in this world and how we might participate in it. We pray for those who involve with Backpacks for Kids that we might continue to sense your Holy Spirit leading and generosity that we might enable as we can. And we look forward to what you have in store now as we broaden our minds and open our ears and minds to see further. Jesus, we pray it in your name because you can make it possible. Amen. Jan?
Thank you, Jane. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having us here. I want to introduce Maggie first. Maggie is our... She's been with our program for quite a long time now, and she also... is an education director at St. Madeline Sophie. So she wears a couple of hats too, like we all do. And as Jean mentioned, I'm from Holy Cross Lutheran Church. But, what I want to talk about today, of course, is Backpack Meals for Kids. And before I do that, I'd like to just kind of focus on the big problem, which is food insecurity. There's more of it than any of us realize in our neighborhood. In fact, when I started Backpack Meals, I was really shocked that there were so many people in Bellevue who didn't have enough to eat. It just kind of didn't enter my mind. I live in Bellevue. We never have trouble having enough to eat, right? Maybe we scrape by a little bit, but we don't really know what that is. But there are a lot of people right in Washington State. There's like 790,000 people who are food insecure. We don't say hunger because we all know what hunger is, but it comes and goes. We've experienced it, but it doesn't mean anything because we know we're going to eat again soon. Food insecurity means that we don't know if we're going to eat again soon. So it causes, as you could imagine, that causes all kinds of problems for people. Anxiety about worry about how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to feed my children? So in the bringing it home here in Bellevue, which is such an affluent community, it's hard to imagine hungry people, right? But right in our Bellevue schools, there's about 19,000 students, I think, somewhere in there. And a huge percentage, about 18%, are living in poverty or food insecurity. That is the case. There is, and that's how we started. Backpack Meals is a weekend food program. We give these children food to take home for the weekend because they don't have enough to eat there. Because you're right, in school they have very adequate, nutritious meals, and that's a blessing. But when they go home, they don't always have it. Now, there are many families who, if they're living in poverty, they do get now EBT cards, electronic cards that they can take to the grocery store and buy food. But that means you have to apply and you have to be screened to get into the program. Yes, it is. It's a blessing when they get it, but it could be difficult. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I wrote a little piece on our blog that Biden first had a program that lifted almost all children out of poverty, but it was set to go off in 1 year. And of course, you know, it wasn't renewed. So we don't place a high priority on this. And children with food insecurity, they can't grow up to be healthy, productive adults because they can't get through the school. So the, as I see the problem is one of health, one of education, and one of productive adulthood. If children don't, because they need, I'm sure Dr. Mercer has told you all about how important nutrition is for developing brains of children. They don't develop if they don't have enough food. And the teachers, when we first started, the teachers were saying, golly, kids come to school on Monday, they can't sit still, they're restless, or they're sick, the absenteeism is high. So all those things affect education. So back to the Bellevue School District, there were about 3,000, almost 4,000 students who are living in poverty. Does anybody know what that means to be impoverished, what the federal guideline is, the income level? For one single adult, it's about $13,000. A year, if you make that. For a family of four, it's about $126,000 to $130,000. So that's minimum wage. So if you're making $15 an hour and raising four children, that's not very much. How do you get by? If you have a house, you've got to pay the rent because otherwise you'll be in the street. So it's just a real dilemma for so many people. And if you think about 4,000 children, think of those families that they're struggling and the parents are working out trying to make a living, but it's a real struggle for children. It's pretty interesting the city of Bellevue has the Bellevue School District with about 19,000 students. Would anybody make a guess at how many languages are spoken? 50. How many? 50? 50? That's a good guess. Anybody else? Throw out an 85? That's closer. It's about 104 languages that are first, I want to get this right. There are 140 languages, and the 41% first language other than English. So just think of that. That's a challenge. These are often immigrant children, and it's a challenge for the school. It's a challenge for the teachers. So I think what we do is trying to make it easier for them. As you said, it's a cumbersome program to get into. To get food. And, so what we do is give them a pack of food. We didn't bring one, did we? We'll bring a pack of food that the child takes home and can eat. So if his parents aren't there, which probably is the case, they can feed themselves. The parents may be working, two jobs, and they go home and there's nobody there and the refrigerator is empty. So on Friday, they get a bag of food to take home. So we feel like our program puts food right where it's needed, in the hands of the kid who has to eat. So, question? Bellevue School District. She said, is this a statewide program? And it is not. We are just serving the Bellevue School District. But I will tell you that almost every school district has a program like ours. There was none in the city of, in the Bellevue School District when we started in 2011. So that's why we began it, because I went to a meeting of Nourishing Networks and I learned that this is a problem in the Bellevue schools. The teachers were saying we need food on the weekend for the kids. And I was there with a friend, and we just raised our hand and said, we'll try to see what we could do. So we started with two schools, and then it got bigger, and we went to now we're serving every school gets something. Some of them in well-to-do areas don't get many bags, but they do all have some. Yeah. Well, that's a good idea, and that's another problem I think the city of Bellevue has. They don't support community gardens. I've been calling the city and saying, why not? I created one myself at Holy Cross. We have 22 gardens, and they're available for anybody who wants to come and grow food. And we would welcome children. But, I mean, we're starting with this. There are many things that can be done to help families. You know, it's a great suggestion. But I think kids really need food. They need food to learn. They shouldn't really have to work for it. It was unfortunate that kids did have to in our time when we were young and there was no welfare support or something that they needed. So, yeah, we want the kids to focus on education. And our mission that we have devised, it says that we want to feed children so that they grow up and be healthy, productive members of society. Because I believe very strongly if they don't get that when they're in grade school and the early grades, when their brain's developing, then they're, you know, disadvantaged. They're going to fall behind, and then the next year they fall more behind, and the next year they fall more behind. And they need food. And what happens when people don't get food? They probably go out and buy cheap food that's not healthy. Okay, potato chips are great. Hershey bar is great. There's no nutrition in that. So we try to give them healthy meals that they can eat when they go home and just hope. There's no way that I know to solve hunger, to solve food insecurity without providing what families need, a living wage, a job, and all those things that many people in our country are falling behind on. And we have to have the wherewithal of our elected officials to fund those programs like the one that lifted kids out of poverty. But I want to stop a little bit and tell you more about our program and what we do and how we do it. And Maggie's the best person to talk about that. So I'm going to hand this to her and I'll let her introduce herself.
Thank you, Jan. My name is Maggie Rader, and I've been with Backpack Meals since I think it was 2014. This is just my funny introduction to Backpack Meals. I met one of the founders at jury duty. We met at jury duty, and she corralled me. She said, hey, I'm part of this Backpack Meals for Kids, and we could use volunteers. And so anyways, that was in 2014, and I've been doing it since. But I'm the volunteer coordinator, so it is my job to find volunteers to deliver these packs. So we get our packs from an outfit in Seattle. We started packing our own when it was a small, when we had, I think I came and we were receiving a count from the district that says we need 125 packs. Now, as a volunteer group, we could purchase that food and we could put the packs together. But that was back when we were serving 5th grade through 12th grade with the focus on these kids are fixing their own food. But then we also knew that the younger kids needed some support. So we brought that eligible age group down to kindergarten. And so when that number, that age range was expanded, our numbers shot up. So we're up to over 400 packs a week. So we are a volunteer group right now. And so the district is good enough to let us use some space in there, but we wouldn't have the capacity to fill 400 bags that week. So we outsource that. And, so we get the packs and then we deliver them to the school. So I get all the volunteers in order to make that happen. So we get our packs at the district. We do a distribution. And they get it there on Thursday, so that gives the counselors an opportunity to get the packs out to the students either a Thursday or a Friday before they go home, normally Friday. So I received information from the district. So we don't know what children are receiving these packs. So they decide, the counselors determine the need. And we don't require anything of anybody that receives our pack. It's just based on the need. So the teachers speak to the counselors and they find how many they need for their school. And then the counselors report that number to the district. And the district just tells me, I get a weekly count from the district that says this school needs 10 packs. Or this school needs 20 packs. Lake Hills has been ordering 120 packs a week. So one of the things about our program is that there is no qualifying event to participate. And so the teachers and the counselors can determine just what the need is for them, and we can provide that. So what else would you like me to focus on? Yes.
How do they do that? You're dealing with kindergarten.
Right. So, you know, she's asking the question is, how do they determine that? So I think the teachers have a big impact. They can just see what happens. I know that we've had somebody on our board that was a teacher, and she could tell that this child was having trouble at school. And then they figure out by way of conversation with the child, they could tell that there's a need at home. And so, I think when you're seeing these kids on a daily basis, you get a sense of them, especially as the year progresses. And so that information is just translated to the counselors of that school. And then that is passed on to the district. But so my job is to get the information and make sure it all happens, right? The packs come in, they're distributed to our volunteers. And our volunteers are awesome. Jay's been a volunteer. And they're and they are. They're passionate about that people can get fed. Children can get fed. And I'm motivated by all of that, you know. And it's so wonderful. And everybody's very gracious. We have a website where you can inquire about volunteering. And I check that and see where there's a good fit. Sometimes we do pack our own bags. So through the years, and how many years have we been doing preschool? Okay, so about 5 years ago, there's a district preschool. They find out that, you know, elementary age kids are getting weekend food packs, and they said, hey, can we get in on that? We have some need there. So about 5 years ago, we started providing packs for preschoolers. Now, we keep that in-house, meaning we don't necessarily outsource that. So we pack with, because it's not as much. It's 181 a week at this stage. But so we have some of our volunteers pack those. But we also have organizations that come that want to help us in our mission. And they'll have a lot of corporations will want to have volunteer days with their staff or their team. And so sometimes we have organizations say, hey, can we do that? So sometimes they will buy the food and pack it. And sometimes we pay for our organization pays for the food and they do the packing. We like to make some of those connections and making, you know, get the knowledge out for one, just making a community outreach. It's and also we've also had some churches help us in doing that. They just do the labor. They can't afford the food, but we will provide the food. And then did you want to add on to that?
No.
Okay.
I just want to add something to what you said before.
Okay. Yes. So it started out that they did get a backpack, and that was a way of having it being a little bit discreet. But we found the backpacks never made it back, right? So that's happened. So the food is in bags, and they're kind of an opaque bag. And so, and they're of a size that can be slipped into a backpack though. So that the school is the one that handles that. But yes, we did start doing that, but we found that they just didn't, they just couldn't seem to get the backpack back. Yeah, but she wanted to add something.
Well, just about, Maggie said we're all volunteers. I just want to reinforce that. You might wonder, well, where does the money come to buy the food and how do we operate? Well, first of all, you probably won't have another group that comes in here and talks to you, a nonprofit in Bellevue that says, we have nobody who's paid. And this is who we are. Nobody is paid to do what we do. We tried to work with other organizations. We went to Hope Link. We went to some other nonprofits and they didn't want to do this. So we're, as Maggie said, we're pretty passionate about this program, thinking that kids need food on the weekend. So we have been doing it ourselves, raising enough money about $80,000 to $90,000, sometimes $100,000 a year that we raise by going out and asking people like you. I have a handout here if anybody is interested in the financial part. Our money comes from individuals, mostly from individuals in Bellevue, a couple of small business. One is Microsoft people who work there. Also, Windermere has been extremely generous to us. They have a wonderful foundation, and every year they give us some money. It doesn't fund us, but all this together adds up to enough that we can buy the food and pack it and give it to the kids. What this does mean, though, is after about 11 years, everybody's kind of been doing this for 11, 12 years. They're starting to get tired. They're starting to say, well, I need to move on. And we have trouble getting new people to volunteer who don't want to be paid. So we are at a point right now looking at what are we going to do in the future? Is there some group we can merge with? Do we go out on our way and try to hire somebody? That means we have to ask for more money, and we'd rather all the money we ask for goes to food as it does right now. So I just wanted to explain that a little bit as I, you might have questions of how we do this. Yes. Well, absolutely, and I really totally neglected this. First thing I wanted to say really was thank you for having us on your budget, because you have supported us for a long time, and we're so grateful to have Jay, because she will contact me and say, what do you need, what's going on, and so it's been a real blessing. So thank you. Forgive me for not saying that right away. And you're right, my co-founder, which Maggie kind of referred to, that recruited her at the at jury duty, is Farida Hakim, who some of you may know because she gets around a lot. And she was she's involved her Muslim community a lot to help us and in all those areas. So yes. Was there one other thing that I want to comment on? But thank you so much for your help.
It's kind of an ever-evolving thing. So all of the food has to be shelf-stable at this point. Actually, this year we've been getting some fruit, but we're noticing that the fruit doesn't always make it. We've had a couple pears, I think oranges, and the oranges were pretty good. But most of the time it has to be shelf stable because they're not getting it till the next day. So you think things like granola bars, and we think of some fruit, yeah. Yeah, there are some drinks. Now, the outfit that we get ours from is that she's not putting milk in the elementary age pack because she has done some research and found that that is more accessible. They can get that elsewhere fairly readily. This is her philosophy. Now, when we do our preschool packs, we do add the milk. The Horizon is, I think it's a shelf-stable milk. Yeah. But so yes, yeah, so we have to do the cereal bars or granola bars. Does it have the list of things on here? We have some cup of noodles. That's super, super popular. So, but now that we're finding that there are some children that are not taking packs because they either it's for religious reasons or cultural reasons. So our supplier is creating a more, more sensitive, you know, meal plan, make choices. So we're starting to do this with the district. We haven't got the numbers yet, but they're trying to determine. And we had a Zoom meeting with the counselors and they were saying that this is going to be very good for the children. They'll respond positively to this. So we'll see how it will pan out. Right.
Exactly. That's a great question. And I don't know if Maggie mentioned this, but we do have a preschool pack is different because it's for the itty bitty kids. So they just get things they can open themselves. It's not anything that needs to be microwaved or cooked. So that's what they get. It's more of a snacky pack, but it is something they can handle on their own with, you know, the group we work with is Backpack Brigade of Seattle. They purchase food for, oh, I don't know, hundreds of schools. And we work with them because they get great prices because they buy in such huge, large quantities that we are able to do this for $6 a pack. But at 400 children, almost 500 children every week, you can see how that adds up, and it does take funding. So that's an important piece.
We haven't provided it yet, but they're wanting, and it was 50 packs. So I don't have a whole bunch of information yet because we actually haven't done it. They wanted to this week, and I was asking some more questions, like, and she said that they were trying to make that connection. So we're just going to start that, but I don't have a whole lot of details yet. But 50 packs is what they asked for, but we have yet to deliver. Pardon me? I have a gal. I have to tell you, one of the volunteers that goes to Lake Hills, she has a Sienna van. She has one seat out, I think, and she takes 120 in her van, 120 packs. Now, these packs come in a crate, five to a crate. So she takes, you know, all of these crates in her van, and it's, you know, I'm so grateful for her because she's willing to do it. You know, and these crates have to come back to our warehouse, but she, now it's just part of her thing. And so we haul them over here and she settles them in their van. I mean, it's a truck, right? Basically.
Where is your warehouse?
No, it's the Bellevue School District warehouse.
Oh, is that what you
mean? Yeah. No. So the packs are coming to us from Seattle. And the warehouse hosts some of our like inventory, but it's not where we have. Like I said, we're not actually packing the majority of our packs. We're getting them from Seattle. We purchase them because as a volunteer group, we can't order, warehouse all of those things and pack 400 a week. So that's how it is. But it is the district has been so good about letting us have a little bit of space to have whatever leftover things that we have right there at the district warehouse. So this right there from the bus barn, the Bellevue bus barn.
And that can add too, when you think about all these packers that pack these bags, there are dozens and dozens of volunteers. They have a warehouse down by the, what do you call those?
Soto area.
And they have so many volunteers and they order all this food. I don't know how they do it.
Where she's referring to Backpack for me, our supplier of packs. That person is a paid employee. This is her organization that she has volunteers. Now we buy our packs from her. It's because the need is so great And we are all volunteers.
They're funded. She works for a food bank. And that's why a lot of these programs are run out of food banks. But our food bank wasn't able to do it with the size or whatever else they're doing, so they couldn't do this. That's why we were doing it. And I wanted to mention that I think year to date, we've done about 12,000 packs, 12,000. And each one should have about 6 meals. So that's a lot of meals. So it does take, as I said, take $6 a pack. So you'll see some cards at your table. I hope you'll take more. I have lots up here. Hand them out to people so that people know about us.
So she's asking how many schools. So there's what, 28, 29 schools in the district. Right now, not all schools are ordering packs for whatever reason. I'm not sure. But right now we've about 18 schools that are requesting packs. Now this year has been a transition year since pre-COVID. I would say 25 schools ordered packs. Now COVID threw a lot of change and a lot of things. There's been a lot of personnel change at the district level as well. So I just think there's, and this is a personal opinion, I just think that after COVID, they're still getting their legs under them. And so, because I'm kind of surprised that only 18 schools are ordering right now. Maybe the fall will be different, you know, and they've got a year under their belt. And but I think
Summer, do you want to address?
Well, we're a weekend meals program when the kids come to school. So summertime is a little different. This government provides feeding programs in different places. And I don't know where they all are. We get a written thing at the end of the school year every year of where the different meal sites are that kids can go, families can go and have food. So that's the main thing that happens in the summer. I will say we have done some different things. We have given gift cards to some of the homeless kids. By the way, there is about 400 kids right now who are living in unstable housing. They're in between. They could be sleeping with cousins and relatives, and they're doing things like that. So those kids we have given grocery cards to. We've done a truck feeding program where we gave kids a coupon that they could go get a meal at one of the food trucks. So we do different things to help out in the summertime. But our biggest focus is during the school year, and that's what most of our budget goes to. Good question. Oh, if the family has, we can give as many as they ask. They have to ask and say they need a pack. So if a school says we have two, that's what we bring. Was that answer your question?
So we don't know who receives the packs. We don't know, but a pack is for one child. Yeah.
How much do you pay for the
pack? It's $6 a pack.
We don't know whether, you know, that price could go up. We hope it stays the same. I've been assured by the woman who runs Backpack Brigade that it would stay the same, but it's possible because, as you know, if I went to the grocery store yesterday and was kind of shocked that some things I bought, the prices had gone up pretty high. So it's going to be a hard time for these families who are serving now. It's going to be even harder. So just be aware that food banks will need more support. And, yeah. Okay, yes. So she has a picture of our website up here. And I hope you'll check it out. You just go, if you remember, backpackmeals.org, www.backpackmeals.org. And then you can see we also post on Facebook, but Maggie has put in information about our volunteers in here. Can you bring up some of the volunteer programs? I guess it doesn't show the pictures very well, but you can stay up to date with what we're doing. We have a blog in there, and we write on that from time to time every month or so. So I hope you'll look at that once in a while. Maybe you'll see your face in here, Jay, or no? So that shows how what Maggie was describing about people putting their packs in their car and filling them up. So
the red jacket is the gal that takes the Winston radio, so she's the one that takes the 120. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, we have our volunteers are just super amazing, and they're people like you, and they bring their families. Jay came with her daughter one day, and it was so nice to. We have families saying, can I have my kid volunteer? I want to teach him to volunteer. Unfortunately, we do this at the same time they're in school, so we don't get a lot of families who are able to help. But anything else you can, any other questions that I haven't covered?
Yes, it all depends. I mean, sometimes I have people that are on my sub list, right? if I have polls or people have stepped back for the week or whatever, and then I go out to my sub list, which is, it's nice to have those people that can't do it. Matter of fact, this gal here in the gray sweater, she's on the sub list. And so they can't do it every week. I mean, we encourage the volunteers to do it weekly because then they have a relationship with the people at the school. But that's not always realistic, if you have to step back or if you just want to sub, that's also a nice thing too. It's just, it depends. Sometimes the schools are, getting the packs in. So hopefully we can develop, they have carts there. Sometimes I have a dolly myself. So it depends, you know, sometimes it's tricky to getting them into the schools depending on the layout of the school. So we always kind of have to figure out what works, but you know, like these people are now regular people that go to the school. So they know what to expect every week. But yes, I would, you know, if anybody wanted to be on a sub list, that'd be awesome too. So basically I just have the volunteers and then I say, do you want to take this school? Sometimes they say, can it be in my neighborhood? Sometimes there's a need that they will do that. They like to do that. Or maybe I have some volunteers that have their children at that school. So we try to do that too. But most of the time people are pretty flexible. They'll just say, I just want to help. You know, I started and I was working part time and then I took a full time job at my work. And, when I did that, I said, you know, I've been doing that backpack meals for years and I'd still like to do it Thursday mornings. Can I still take this full-time job and make room for that? And they said, yes. So I have my full-time job. Plus I have this portion because service is such a big part of important for all of us. And I can tell for everyone here that service is part of our life. We're called to do that, to be in service of one another. So, all of my volunteers feel strongly the same way, and they are so responsive to whatever I ask if I have them. Right. So we don't outsource the preschool packs right now. So those are the ones that we sometimes with our own volunteers at the backpack, meals people, we sometimes do that and they do that at the warehouse.
And there are 200 of those every week.
Yeah.
One, so there's a lot to pack.
Right.
We have had the First United Methodist has been packing a lot of packs for us. We buy the food and they pack, and that's fine. Some organizations will say, we want to buy some food and pack for you. So we've had...
The Muslim community has also provided...
Yeah, MAPS.
Has provided the preschool packs. So we've always wanted to keep that...
We've always wanted to keep that preschool portion as our actual packing because it does keep us connected, but it also provides opportunities in the community to do that work as well. But this year we had a lot of outside communities wanting to pack for us, which has been, it's been great, you know. So, but yes, that is an opportunity if they, if that is to pack. And it's just, I reach out to some people and I've had a, just a few people pack a couple times a year and that's all that they've done.
Well, I keep looking at the clock and I think we probably should wind this down. And thank you both for coming. If anybody has any more questions, please contact me and I can find an answer for you if I don't know.
And there's something really important I want to say before we close, and that is we are looking for board members with skills who've been on a board. We need a treasurer. We may have one, but we need board members to help us through this change we're going to have to adapt to as the need grows so great. So please share that with people you know who might be good at any of those skills or know about how to run. It gets more complicated the bigger you get. So we'd appreciate that. And thank you so much just for having us here today to share what we do.